This morning in Zephaniah, God is writing this short book through the prophet Zephaniah, who was the great-grandson of Hezekiah, about the coming destruction of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon. And he's actually giving themselves one last opportunity to avoid that destruction. Now, they did not avail themselves of that opportunity, but God warned them that it was coming, this destruction. And he gave them the steps that would be involved in avoiding this punishment from God. And these are the same steps that we can institute in our lives to be sure we avoid any chastisement that may be needed because we are not living for God like we should be. So beginning in verse 1 of chapter 2 in Zephaniah, God says, "Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired, before the decree bring forth, before the day passes the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." So I've entitled the message, "Seek Righteousness." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you and we thank you for the privilege of meeting together this morning and opening your word together. And Lord, we believe in the power of your word and pray that now that that power would touch each of our hearts in a mighty way, draw us closer to you, work miracles in our lives, bring comfort, whatever the needs might be. Lord, if someone in our service not born again, I pray they'll realize they must be born again, as clearly stated by our Savior. And I pray, Lord, that you will be glorified in all that's said and done and meet with us. We love you so much and pray in Christ's name. Amen. It's not complicated, but as he tells them here, a day of wrath is coming. Notice chapter 1, verse 15, it says that that day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and destruction, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. He says that destruction is coming. It wasn't long after Zephaniah's prophecy that the destruction came through Nebuchadnezzar as the king of Babylon. But God, again, was continually sending his prophets to his people and saying, "I love you, you're my children, but you're disobeying me. And I have to chastise you. I have to punish you for your disobedience. If you would just repent and come back, you can avoid it." So three things he gave them here in this passage that we can all take heed to this morning. Number one, in verse 3, he says, "Seek ye the Lord." Seek ye the Lord. Now this would be true for saved and unsaved alike. Unsaved, they need to seek the Lord. They need to find salvation. They need to find the Savior who can save them from their sins and the consequences of their sins. The Bible says in Psalm 14, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." And there are many out there who want to just carry on their merry way and believe that that's true. But honestly, in their hearts, they know it's not true. Because the Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 1 that everybody knows in their hearts that there is a Creator. God put that there. And they need to seek the Lord before it's too late. We don't know when the trumpet's going to blow. And when the trumpet blows, yes, Christians will be taken away, but everybody else gets to face one of the worst times of judgment ever seen upon this earth, called the tribulation period. So if you would, turn to Isaiah 55, back to the left a little bit. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seeking the Lord is something that God has always wanted from all of his created beings, and that is because he created us for fellowship, to spend time with him. He enjoys our fellowship and created us for that purpose, and he wants us to seek him. Notice Isaiah 55, verse 6. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." God is saying, seek me now. Don't wait until you are in sin. Don't wait until you're in a mode of backsliding and disobedience. Seek me now. Seek me every day. And avoid the disobedience. Avoid the chastisement. Continually seek me. And we talked about this in our study on prayer, about how the one most common theme in the Bible about prayer is that we need to be praying all the time. Pray continually. Pray without ceasing. Ought to pray and not to faint, and just pray. Keep praying. Why? We're spending time with the Lord. And you know, the more time we spend with someone, the more we actually become like them. You ever notice that? That's true with God. Seek the Lord. Jeremiah says, "You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." In Jeremiah 29:13. So God wants us to seek him. If you go to 2 Corinthians 6, God here speaking primarily to the unsaved, but also to the saved. And that is, God gives us when we should be seeking the Lord. Notice 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. "For he saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted, and the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." So if you want to know when you need to get saved, there's your answer, now. If you want to know when you need to seek the Lord, there's your answer, now. Seek the Lord. Seek him. We as believers in Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ, have access to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We can come to the throne of the Creator of the universe anytime. We don't have to go to the priest and bring an animal. We can come straight to the Holy of Holies anytime because of Jesus. Seek the Lord. Secondly, verse 3 of our passage, then he says, "Seek righteousness." What God is telling us is we need to seek the Lord on his terms. Because righteousness is only found with God. Now, if you go to Romans 10, verse 3, man does his best. I'm talking unsaved man. To try to earn God's favor through his own righteousness, and it's an absolute waste of time. But sadly, the majority of people on this earth who are seeking to spend eternity with God are seeking it through their own righteousness. And it can't be found. We must seek God on his terms and seek his righteousness. Notice Romans chapter 10, verse 3. "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." What does that mean? Submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. It means acknowledging that God is right and we are wrong. And that only through God's righteousness can we find heaven. And yet so many are trying to seek heaven through their own righteousness. Now, while you're in Romans, go back to chapter 9 and look at verse 30. God here talking about primarily the Jews, but he says, "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles was followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone." How sad. That God's own people, the chosen ones, Israel, are still trying to seek God through their own righteousness. And yet, primarily the people who are born again are Gentiles because they sought it by faith. And as we know from Scripture, when we trust Jesus Christ, righteousness becomes ours. Not because we earned it or deserve it, but because God imputes it to us. Which is a beautiful truth of salvation. Let me show you in Romans, while you're there in chapter 3 this time. Romans chapter 3. Look at verse 10. The Bible says, Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So that God establishes right up front here, there is none righteous on His own. Now look down at verse 22 of the same chapter. It says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now look at chapter 4, verse 5. It says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. When we trust the Lord and what he did at Calvary and his payment for our sin, his resurrection, when we trust the Savior, God says that we have righteousness imputed to our account. It's called justification. So when God says seek righteousness, what is he saying? We have to seek him on his terms. We cannot seek our own righteousness as a means to try to bring God's favor. No, we need to seek God and his righteousness, which we receive, praise God, at salvation. Now, after we're born again, do you know what God wants us to seek? Righteousness. Now it's no longer to try to earn something, but it's to please God. Jesus said what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Once we're born again, does God want us to live a righteous life? Absolutely. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And so after we're saved and we have righteousness by faith, we have justification by faith, heaven is our home, there's nothing the devil can do about that, we're going to heaven, praise God. Does that mean now that heaven's our home that we can live like the devil? No. We're to seek righteousness. Because God is righteous and he wants us to seek him and who he is and be like him. The Bible says, he that saith he abideth in him also himself also so to walk as he walked. We're to now to try to walk the best we can like Jesus walked in righteousness. Is that difficult? Absolutely. Because God's given us his presence in the Holy Spirit. He's given us his word. We can do this. We can crucify the flesh and walk in righteousness. So God talking to his people, he says, I want you to avoid the coming judgment. It is definitely coming. But it's going to come unless you make some serious changes, unless you seek the Lord, unless you seek righteousness. And then in verse 3 of our passage again, Zephaniah 2, he says, and seek meekness. Seek meekness. What does that mean? Well, he uses down in verse 15, he uses a city called Nineveh as an example. He says, this is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that said in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me. How has she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down in? Everyone that passeth by her shall hiss and wag his head. Now, this is the same Nineveh that many decades earlier had repented at the preaching of Jonah, but not less than a century later, God had to destroy them because of their wickedness. So from a generational point of view, their repentance was short-lived because they had forgotten what it was all about. That they repented, that they came to God in meekness and said, Lord, we hear what Jonah said and we're sorry. And the whole city of 1 million people repented in sackcloth. And God withheld his judgment. But then not long after, they fell back into sin. And that can happen to Christians. You know, when we're first saved, we know we're sinners, right? We have no trouble. I'm a sinner. I needed Jesus. I'm wicked. But sometimes, after we've been saved a while, the devil comes along and whispers in our ear and says, you know, you're not such a bad Christian. That's dangerous. To lose that meekness, to lose that perspective of us versus God, that we are wicked sinners and he is holy and righteous. And to start thinking that we've somehow become a good Christian because we might have a list of do's and don'ts. And we judge others by it and all that. That is so dangerous. That's just becoming a modern day Pharisee. Instead, we need to have the perspective that we need to humble ourselves and continually humble ourselves and continually come to God in a spirit of meekness. Go to James chapter 1 and I'll show you what God says about this. James chapter 1 and verse 21. Notice God says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." Receive with meekness. Every time we hear the Word of God, every time we read the Word of God, every time we study the Word of God, we're to receive it with meekness. An attitude of, I need this. An attitude that I'm not there yet. I'm not like Jesus yet. God still has to work in my life. Receive it with meekness. Notice over in chapter 4 of James, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submission and meekness go hand in hand. Submit yourselves. He's talking to Christians now. We know that because he says, resist the devil. Well, unsaved can't do that. But we can. But only if we submit ourselves to the Lord in a spirit of meekness. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. We see this all through the New Testament. This cry for meekness, submission as one of his. And God promised Israel here in Zephaniah chapter 2, if you go back to our passage, that if they would seek the Lord, if they would seek righteousness, and if they would seek meekness, verse 3, it may be, ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. I believe he's primarily talking to individuals now. So I think that the destruction from Nebuchadnezzar was a done deal. But what God is saying is, as individuals, if you will seek the Lord, if you will seek righteousness, if you will seek meekness, I might hide you from Nebuchadnezzar's destruction. And some were spared death, weren't they? How about Daniel and his three friends? They were spared. And they got to live long lives. But what would make the difference? Well, I believe those four men that we're talking about, they were seeking the Lord. And they were seeking righteousness. We see that in their attitude when they first were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. We see that attitude of meekness and submission to the Lord and of wanting to do the right thing and of seeking God. And God spared them for that decision. But he tells them here in Zephaniah chapter 2, look down in verse 7, he promises that he would turn away their captivity. He says, the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed thereupon. In the houses of Ashkelon shall they lie down in the evening, for the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away their captivity. Verse 9, he says, therefore, as I live, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah, even the breeding of nettles and salt pits and a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. So he says, it won't be over. And of course, for the children of Israel, it's never over. And so in the midst of this promised destruction, he's saying, I won't be finished with you. There will come a day. And by the way, that day hasn't even come yet, when they will get their land back and they'll be restored as a nation. But you and I have been given many promises in Scripture that God chastises his children. Go to 1 Corinthians 11. I'd like to show you this. But even in Hebrews 12, he says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. So why does God chasten us? Because he loves us. And he tells us it's always there. It's always available. If I need it, how do we avoid it? Seek the Lord. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. Keep the attitude right. Notice 1 Corinthians 11. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged, but When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Judge ourselves. Judge ourselves in light of Scripture. God's given us His commands. He's given us His guidelines as His children. What's right and what's wrong. It's not like we're in the dark about those things. Plus, the Holy Spirit reveals them to us as we go to Him in prayer. And as we go to the Word, He shows us areas where we need to change. And in the spirit of meekness, we need to seek the Lord and seek righteousness. And avoid, as He promised them, the Lord's anger. Nothing angers God more than sin. Psalm 7:11 says God is angry with the wicked every day. And if you ever have to wonder how much God hates sin, just look at Calvary. Yes, it reveals how much He loves mankind, but it also reveals how much He hates sin. That He was willing to go through all of that to pay for the consequences of sin. So God is always crying out to His people. He was all through the Old Testament, and He is now to you and me. He says, seek me. Seek me. If you're born again, seek me. If you're not born again, seek me. Seek righteousness and seek meekness. And as He says there, it may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. It just may be. If we'll just keep seeking Him and just keep seeking righteousness and just keep seeking meekness, we'll find out when we get to heaven how much we avoided, how much chastisement, because we did the right thing. Seek righteousness. Let's pray. Lord,